שלום לכם, אנחנו כאן בבית קבלה.
Hello audience, we're here in בית קבלה לעם. We're continuing the broadcast we began at 7 o'clock in our studio. Thank you for joining us, those who came all the way here, especially physically, and those who are at home, in Israel and the whole world. We will begin today the lesson with Rav Leitman from the explanation upon Hanukkah according to Kabbalah. We're not going to take away the whole performance from them. We're going to continue afterwards. Of course, we will end here at 9 o'clock. There will still be more continuing afterwards. We are now present in the holiday of the light. It's actually a holiday not spoken about so much in our sources because it's a holiday which is spiritual, you know? And somehow spirituality is always not so much talked about. It's the light which ascends. It ascends up with the spirit. So, we won't speak about history of Hanukkah and the geography-wise part of the story. More or less everyone's heard about this. They know about this. It's spoken about, though, man's internal state, as we learn in the wisdom of Kabbalah, that the whole Torah speaks about the path we have to pass through in our internal correction. So this is the whole story of Hanukkah, actually. When we learned this with you as well, and beforehand, well, I'll draw this anyway. It all begins when we begin to be in despair for my life after we go through many reincarnations where life is more difficult or less difficult, but there accumulates in us a sensation that we need to know, what do we live for? Why am I suffering? What is the point of my life? And by the blows and the different scrutinizations, which are not very easy, so we come to demand this question, and the answer comes to be scrutinized. But again, it all starts from how on one hand we're all in despair from our life, but on the other hand there awakes in us a new desire, a point in the heart, which it sparks in a person and draws a person forward. This is compared to the negative force seemingly pushing us from the back, from the seemingly lack of satisfaction. And second force here is the force from forward, that a person seemingly smells it, he senses it. He goes through many places until he finally reaches the wisdom of Kabbalah. There are those who reach all sorts of foreign, distant, odd places, and it can take them a long time, and maybe not even one incarnation. There are those who come actually also pretty quickly. This depends upon man's the root of his soul. And here a person doesn't exactly know what's happening with him, but he reaches the place and he begins to develop by that same spark which has drawn him forward. And all these deficits, that suffering which push him from the back, they seemingly remain in the back. And now he seemingly found a place, a solution, you know. He hasn't solved the problem for himself, but he hears, yes, it's present. The question which awakens in him seems to be correct, and the solution is before him. And so we just need to somehow arrange it together. And this is called, according to the story, that he begins to work with his pot of oil. That small pot, which is actually not dependent upon him, meaning the point of the heart which has lit up in him, and he advances with it, he's told he must begin a war. A war with the forces of his nature, these negative forces, with his ego, that he has to connect with others. As we hear about the Maccabim, yes, they have to collect all of Israel around them against the Greeks, meaning against the general ego. And then a person hears about this, that yes, this is what the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about. And if he is capable, if he does want to do this, to rise above his ego, to wage this war against it, then by the society, the circulation, the study, and especially by the different internal scrutinizations which he does, that he worries how to raise the importance of bestowal of the light, this attribute of bestowal of the Creator, that which is above, which was as the mission of the Maccabim, this who is for the Creator, come to me. He begins to gather these internal forces towards him until he is privileged to rise above his ego. So we learn here that we come to the initially to the wisdom of Kabbalah with our small pot, and along with it, it's enough for us in order to reach through a long path. It could be here months, years, till we reach the barrier, that then we enter a state called bestowal. Rav is writing bestowal. Hashpa. This is the attribute of the priests of the Maccabim, which drew the nation, meaning man's desires, that we draw ourselves with that same pot or can. Here is below is the period of preparation, and we enter here above into what is known as repentance from fear. This is actually called that we are sanctifying ourselves, we are dividing ourselves, separating this part of ourselves, building the first temple. It's the first one in our path, but actually it is the second. This is the attribute of Bina, that we attain it from our Malchut, and that's how we already reach a degree where we have attained the attribute of bestowal of Bina. We won the war. We reached bestowal and the intention to bestow. We sanctified our vessels, that all our desires are already in bestowing above bestowal. On the path, we ourselves reveal many, many negative desires and negative discernments, and we reveal ourselves as truly wicked. So here we have he's making grammar mistakes, but here, the wicked and the complete wicked. These are two levels we have to reveal about ourselves on the path. It's not so pleasant, but if a person equips himself with the forces from the group and the study and the circulation, these positive forces, then he goes through this and he doesn't fall, he doesn't enter despair, until he passes this and reaches this level here where he is righteous, meaning he justifies all the negative forces which the Creator gave him. When he reveals them, it's called that he is in the Yom Kippurim. And when he reaches the state of bestowal, only that, he like rises entirely above his ego, above these two levels of the wicked and complete wicked, our ego. That if he's on this level of wicked, it's called that he's revealing in him the mistakes. And when he reaches the level of complete wicked, so he reveals the sins, and then he rises above all this, that this big mountain that he rises above, and here he begins to build the temple. It's like Bina, that he doesn't want anything, he just wants to bestow. And this is called Chanukah. We'll write it this way. Meaning, it's a camping. It's actually not the end of the path, because man has not yet corrected his desire to receive. He just rose above it. He reached the level of Bina, where here it is Malchut. So it is yet
still the middle of the path, that he reaches here from this Chanukah, this camping, which is this holiday of light that we call it. We don't really enjoy anything specifically in the holiday, just that we rather like enjoy the light. It's a seemingly very light holiday, not very corporal. And here, when we rise even more, we enter repentance from love, he wrote, which is to receive and the intention to bestow. Where here a person is already called complete righteous. So here below he's correcting the mistakes, and above he's correcting the sins. And then this is already the holiday known as Purim, which is as Yom Kippurim. So against the Yom Kippurim we have Purim. Here, like we reveal all the wickedness in us, and above here we correct all that wickedness and to good. And thus here we are called complete righteous, and this is the state called the end of correction. Or that this, when we reach it, it'll be called the third temple. Along the way we also have the second temple, but above here when we reach it will be the third temple. So this is the story of man's ascent. We have to locate all these holidays within us. Kippurim is the revelation of the wickedness in us. Hanukkah is wanting to rise above our ego, just to rise above it, and then afterwards we correct it and use it on the intention that we receive it, and then on the intention to bestow. And this is actually our whole path. This is how we correct ourselves from that small pot, that small can that we received from the Creator, that we were all familiar with from that story of Hanukkah. As it was found, then they decide what to do with it, and then they decide that they light the small light with their effort, and that small light turns into a big light. That's it. Well, ask questions, please, if you have. I will also ask questions. I'm very curious regarding in Hanukkah the whole matter of the Greek and the Maccabim, and that we have also in the middle these people who have like seemingly assimilated into the Greek. What is that? We see in every problem that we are present in, there is a part is from our nation and from within meeting man's attributes. There are those we can truly reveal to be as wicked, and there are those that we reveal as, well, they seem to me okay. And there is a part which seems to me as good, but afterwards I see just how cunning it is, that it turns into bad. And that part is called the Erev Rav. Especially it was revealed during the exiting from Egypt. It is written that the entire hardship to exit from the exile and to reach redemption, to run away from Egypt, was because between those who wanted to exit, there were those who said, truly, it's not worthwhile for us to leave Egypt. They were actually the same Jews who thought, no, everything's quite okay. We have everything here. We have this world, the next world. Do whatever you want. Everything will be okay. There's like no need to correct ourselves. Everything's okay. And that is called Erev Rav. They usually, you know, that if somebody who's against you, you can distance yourself from him. You can disconnect yourself from him. And that way we could disconnect ourselves from that, and we run away from Egypt. It's the part of the ego that can't remain with us. We see that on one hand, but actually, according to the story, they barely were able to exit Egypt that way. And then afterwards, there was still yet the sin of the Chetah Egel. Zohar explains how the Erev Rav, it sticks out very much in the wisdom of Kabbalah, actually. They are called workers of Pharaoh or fearers of the Creator. Or the opposite. Yes, fearers of the Creator, workers of Pharaoh. Meaning, on one hand, they seemingly have fear of the Creator. They want to do everything the Creator said. But as long as it's for my Pharaoh, let it be for my good. And these such people, they are very much opposing correction. They're very much opposing everything Kabbalah says. Actually, in the time of Hanukkah, they are the assimilating the Greeks. There was no actual war with the Greek because they simply had to disconnect. Specifically, the assimilated Jews who thought that by the spiritual work in which we will draw it to ourselves, you know, so I will have from all this work money, respect, I'll be respected well, I'll live good in this world and something for the next world, you know, I'm doing whatever I need to be doing. And then from this, they're actually stopping the development. They're stopping actually the recognition of evil. That the Torah is actually not meant to correct the ego. That's what they're saying. We don't need to correct anything, just to perform everything that it says, and that's it. And this approach of performing and not correcting ourselves, that we're not so evil, that we're quite okay, that it's enough just to perform these things, that is truly the wickedness, because it corrupts our recognition of evil and our path of correction. And thus, these assimilated Jews and or the Rev Rav from Egypt, as we see, they are truly our true problem in reaching adhesion with the Creator, reaching the goal. They're delaying us from correcting our ego, from this recognition of evil. And this approach, that it's quite enough to perform these things without looking around inside and having to correct things. This approach really disconnects us from the correction, and it does not bring us closer to the Creator. It's truly the biggest accident along the path. It calms people down, that everything's okay, just continue as you are, and we continue the exile this way. And thus, as the Zohar says in the introduction to the Zohar, it's written there that all the problems comes from this, all the suffering that we suffer and that the whole world suffers, specifically from this approach. Because without this approach among the Jews, we would truly long ago have reached recognition of evil, and then truly recognize the evil, and as it's written, I created the Torah, the spice. So we would draw the force upon us to correct ourselves already and reach our next level of existence, which would arrange our lives here. We would see already the spiritual upper life. And to our sorrow, the war is truly among the Jews, between the Maccabees and the assimilated Jews, the Mityavnim. And so they need this force of Moses to raise them out of the exile compared to those who simply want to remain there and they feel quite good. What's so bad? Everything's okay, as yesterday. There is quite a lot here. Anybody who wants to read about this topic, Erev Rav, there is a lot of substance. How we can, in each and every one of us, there is a part of that Erev Rav that we can locate. The main thing is among the nation. Those who stop us along the path and say, everything is enough this way, we don't need to recognize all this evil and correct it. We don't need the light of reforms, we don't need the wisdom of Kabbalah to correct the ego. Rather, enough. Well, I hope we'll succeed. We see that our life is quite pushing us to recognition of evil. We see just how much the world is changing. And revelation, recognition of the true reality is seen more and more. And I hope we're coming towards the big corrections. Good evening. Regarding the substance about Erev Rav, Could you tell us? Yes, if you leave your email, if you have, we'll even send you the material. I just want to explain in general, not even specifically this topic. We have our site, kab.co.il, Kabbalah La'am. There is an archive of all the writings of Kabbalah, lessons, scriptures, texts, articles, everything in the whole world of Kabbalah is found there. And there's even a search engine. You enter any search term in the search box and you'll get related material at kab.co.il. You know, in the Torah itself, in the Bible, yes, the Chumash, the Pentateuch, the Zuri and the Terev Rav caused problems for those who were exiting Egypt. Like delays. Remember, it's workers of Pharaoh fearing the Creator. That on one hand, they are fearing the Creator, on the other hand, they're working for their ego. This connection, it's called Erev Rav. Anyone who has the writings of the Rabash at home, those three books by the Kabbalist Baruch Shalom Ashlag, Rav Lightman's teacher, you have articles by this name. Uvde Hashem Yireh Paro. Okay. Hello, Rav. I have a question which is a bit complex. The answer is very important to me. So please, in short. Because Rav is saying that all these things around me are things which are actually within me, and everything that exists is in some total, is certain dimension in me, meaning also the words of the Rav, there is some part that I like build it, that I'm found to be in some film, which is always broadcasted, and I'm receiving this, meaning things that you're saying are found to be in some dimension in me, right? Evil force, the good force, seemingly, yes. When I hear you and I get some feedback which comes to me, how can I discern between those two forces in me and know how to accept these things? Oh, here you can have a big confusion. You can say, you know, you're all cancelled. You're all within me. Who are you? You're all inside me. So that's it. The guy in the audience said, you said that. So Rav says, wait a minute. Look at how much you can speak from just something you heard me say. And how much of it are you truly perceiving that inside? Because truly in it already, truly part of it. So he says, believe me. Rav says, why believe you? I work with different vessels. My approach is quite different. The approach must be that a judge has not but what his eyes see. This that we speak about, that the entire reality is within me, I'm speaking about this because I must direct myself towards this perception. But not that I just, okay, I determine now everything's inside me and that's it. You know, like a car tramples me and I say, oh, that's within me. Or, I don't know, I get into some fight with somebody and I say, oh, that's within me. The Ahmadinejad, all these things, it's all my attributes, it's all within me. Look, a person has to live according to where he's found, his present degree, and not imagine himself to be in 1,000 degrees beyond it. So we have always, remember, the present and the desirable. That in the present, we must say, there is no one else for me but myself. We must exist in this rational, clear manner. And a person, once more, is a judge has only but what his eyes see. And so when I yearn towards the next level, when I enter this adhesion, and then this whole reality sticks to this one point. But then that is my reality. And then I see it that, and it's present in my senses, and I don't have a question anymore. Are these people in me, in the whole world, or they're not? How do I behave with them then, or not? So, to our point, don't get confused. Whatever we learn about perception of reality, we want to get into it. We want to see how it truly is that way. And all this speech about it in the meantime, it's fantastical. It's not realistic in the meantime for us. We can't take that as a fact that, okay, I live according to this. Rather, in order to show us something about our next degree, how we somehow need to like direct our focus towards there. But it should be clear that in the meantime I am in this state, that and look at how I can be. I can be above time, above space, above motion, above everything I grasp in my beastly desires, that spirituality is not within this corporal body, that it's found outside of me. And what's outside of me? Meaning outside my restrictions, outside my senses. So it's other senses, not taste, touch, sound, smell, and sight. It's written in the Zohar quite especially, that explains to us how we can get close to this true perception. But until I don't get into it, I don't work with it. I can't. How? What, am I going to live in some imagination? It's the opposite. I have to live in this world as I am, with my family, my friends, my people I love, my people I hate. But what? Somebody's going to come kill me and I say, is this a good force, the evil force? What is it happening with me now? You know, like, there is quite a commandment from the Creator. Someone who comes to kill you, come and kill him quicker. And let's say the doctors have the right to heal you, such things. That's why I'm in campus, to arrange all this for me. Yes, absolutely. Those who teach in campus, they understand it well, they know it, and they've already passed this quite long ago. All my students in campus are many years learning with me, and I can vouch for everything they teach. Well, you see better than me, so choose someone. That lady in the back, please. Hello. I have a simple question. If Hanukkah and the holidays are stages in our development, what meaning is there to their physical date? Yudalet Adar, Kufav and Kislev. Oh, that's because our calendar is also something from spirituality above. Regarding the phases of the moon, we have the days of the year. It all is from above. Yes, it's all by upper forces arranged this way. This term of time which comes and corporealizes from spirituality to corporality, it brings us its own roots, and thus in the lights which are called times by us, periods, our states are arranged as such. There are Hanukkah, Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, and Purim, and such. Thus we have times which are for good and for bad. I wanted to ask regarding the 8 days of Hanukkah and the 8 holidays. Is there a meaning to this number 8 or in general? Yes. It's between Keter and Malchut we have 8 discernments in which we must tie ourselves with the upper force. That's why it's 8 candles. There is quite a lot more to this. If you enter our material, you'll see about the shamash, the head candle that we used to light the other candle, and why we light from left to right and not right to left. What is the symbol that we're like seemingly adding to this order of lighting the candles? Adding the force. I have a question regarding that same barrier you spoke about here. You drew it. I'm asking a very fundamental question which would bother me. Let's say the past the barrier means you reached a basic level of revelation. You're born. You're born just like you exited your mother. That's how you exit this world to the spiritual world. That's called birth. So the first goal of each person has to be, first of all, to pass the barrier. Yes. The most important one, right? The truth is, it's the most important, and I would say even tragic, in the good sense. Let's say that I'm in a shut room. I have entirely walls around me. You're in that right now, by the way. Okay, but you're the teacher, and you're beyond that. You passed this, and you want to pass me to help me to shatter that same walls, to pass to your state. And what you're doing is you're teaching me all the things that you see beyond the walls. But I'm along with you as well here. It's like the child pressing on his mother, you know? I'm inviting you to come outside. I'm actively working on this. What I'm asking actually is, what is the point in a study which is beyond this barrier? Because I don't see it, I don't sense it. Well, that's how we learn Zohar. But I'm asking, what's the point here? How do you help me or everyone else to shatter that same barrier? Why not teach, give me the vessels to do it? There are always two forces in every spiritual action. The force of repulsion and the force of drawing. Positive, negative, creator and creature, bestowal and reception. It's always these two forces, two actions, never just one. There must be you see like two wires in a car, let's say, that's together, you put them together, they light up the motor. So, if you're given forces, make the effort as much as you can. But you must, along with this entire mechanism, yourself and the society, to awake Ima, to give birth to you. This is what we learn in the Zohar, that we're truly awakening actions in the system called Ima, that mechanism. That's why you heard about Abba and Ima, Upper Ima, and that place where we're born is also called the womb, the Upper Achap. And this action is called birth, and we flip, just like the baby in this world before we are born, that the head must be below all our, meaning all our importance and everything that's important to us, our values must flip. And then we have those contractions where everything becomes narrow, that the lights of chassadim disappear, and then a person is born from that narrowness, and we need these unique contractions and forces from the side of Ima and the mother and the baby. And there's like 200, 300 pages in tests only about this action of birth. It's a very, very unique thing. In our world, how we see it and how we're familiar with it here, it's very external. What actions are activated there? Doctors are still not familiar with. So if I learn everything that you're saying and everything the Kabbalists pass to us, it's supposed to assist me to ruin this barrier? No, Rav says, no. Wait a minute. So wait, what's the trick here? You can learn these things and know them so well with all the definitions, everything by heart. You know, just like you see religious people learning texts. You tell them one word and they can recite the rest for you by heart. A few pages. But that won't assist you anything at all. You must desire to be born. That's one. Two, you must search for the force of birth, the light that reforms, which that will draw you. That should push you, it should arrange this entire process of birth for you. Our work here is to draw the upper force, and this force comes in accordance with the study, and not accordingly to our understanding. It's not the wise guy who understands, who studies. And how do I know if I'm drawing that force? It's against the recognition of the evil in me, that I reveal here just how much I am opposite from spiritual actions, how much I am not a part of them. And as much as I try not to run away from these sensations and conceal it from myself, rather, I take it in order to raise myself above it. For that, we draw the light that reforms. It's the force that pushes me to birth. Meaning, when you reach the barrier, you reach a stage of the biggest recognition of evil? Yes, Rav says. So it's not a simple state. I wrote it here. Look, I wrote, you have wicked, you see, and then complete wicked. So what happens after the barrier? You continue more? No, you begin to be righteous, you see? Here I wrote righteous. You continue to suffer? Suffer? Why suffer? Even now you don't need to suffer. Why are you suffering? You're suffering. If so, that you're suffering, you suffer from this that you're not advancing, you're not balanced. But the moment which I understand you, believe me, I was also a part of this and I suffered as well. And until I found the correct approach, the correct point, just listen, it's correct, I feel bad. And there is something very big I'm drawn to and I don't have it. And it's true, I'm in darkness and I'm confused. And I have this like rotten sensation and the whole world is bothering me and angering me and I'm me towards myself. Let's not even get into that. But in my hands there is something which is dependent upon me, how I can advance with it. If I don't connect myself to the process, to the means, to that same engine which advances me, then I'm in suffering. But if I connect myself to this motion, I'm in happiness. Even that I have not yet reached it yet, I have not revealed it yet. But the happiness is a sign that I'm under the influence of the upper force which advances me. Sadness is a sign that I'm in my ego, called that the fool sits and hugs and crosses his arms and eats his own flesh. We have to be careful not to be in sadness. You know what? I don't know, get drunk. Do whatever you want, you know? Go out, have fun. Whatever you want in your life, you know, just don't be sad. I'm telling you. The best thing, come to the group, work in circulation, I don't know, come to our kitchen. We'll give you something to peel or something, you know. You will feel just how much you get a better mood. I'm telling you. It's truly like that. I always used to go with my teacher. I would come there and I would wash the dishes. After, you know, we had meals there every evening. That's it. Because you must incorporate with something which belongs to the society and you receive upliftment from them. Don't allow yourself even one moment to be in sadness. That is a shell. You know, with all your forces, you know, just claw your way. You simply must, just like, I don't know, you're drowning. You must exit it. Another question, please? Okay. Meaning that a whole process till above will reach there. If you lose yourself a bit and enter something else, yes, you lose your evil yourself and you reveal your good self, which exists already, just that you exchange one for another. One image, slowly, 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 one depiction, and then you reveal the good one. You reveal it as good. You're there already. You're already in infinity. Everything is pleasant, corrected, complete righteous, adhesion with the Creator. We're all there. But the whole concealment is towards us, that we have to reveal it as such. Thus, you don't need to really do anything. The action is only to reveal, always to reveal. The revelation you don't do, the upper force and its influence upon you does that. So you just have to, like, give it the opportunity to do that. But this, that we sit in sorrow, that is the opposite. That pushes us backwards. It's very, very bad. I'm telling you, everything you may do is better than sitting and eating yourself. So in any case, you can't do it on your own, right? You must have friends, society. Yes, it's in maybe 1,000 different ways in different places, you know. Either society or death. That society, that tells you, is symbolized to you the freedom of choice. Without that, you can't advance. That you're building your soul in the connection with the other souls. There you reveal the Creator. So of course your incorporation with them is an obligation. That all of Israel are friends, love thy neighbor as thyself, we're all together as one vessel. These are not just nice words or some communism. It's realization that we're all one man and one heart that has been divided and broken apart into a million pieces. We have to make an effort. Well, the light will do this, but we must make the effort to connect together. And accordingly, we reach that sensation of revelation. We reveal the spiritual world, and that's it. There is nothing here that has been given to us.
No?
Okay, please. I have a question about ego. How do we rise above the ego? How do we do that? Very simply. How do we rise above the ego? It's written that it's by the light that reforms. But I need to first see, is it truly like that? Meaning, run from bad and do good. You know, there's that verse. There's a matter here for us of revealing the wickedness. And that's only in the condition that I want to connect with others. Oh wait, I don't want that. You don't want that? Okay, but let's do that against our desire. And when you begin to operate against your desire, and you see just how much you don't agree with it, it's something horrible. And here I have two opportunities. Either I run away from it, and then I enter study and different things. I come to circulation. I get into some place. I find some corner for myself, and I begin to do something. Let me fix pictures, texts, video clips, and I think, all right, I'm on the way. And that's incorrect. By us, there's also a lot of room here to run away to some corner and not reveal the wickedness in yourself. And then you come after a while with some accusation. Why is nothing happening? Nothing will happen. What do you want to happen? You must reveal the wickedness and then demand the good. Then the correction will be in the corrected desires. That's where you'll feel the revelation, the spiritual birth. So what do people do like in that? You don't want to run away to some corner. You must make the effort to take part in everything possible. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be, I don't know, how can I say this? That you begin to make a lot of noise, you know, and be in everything. I don't even know how to express it. Being connected with a society is to make an effort to live with them together, in their sorrow, in their happiness, in the general spirit and direction. And then in return, you reveal just how much you don't want to be a part of it. And there's nothing to do with a person is good or bad. A person may have been once very sympathetic and compassionate, connected with others, very like individualistic. And also maybe this will occur in everybody, because this is our true nature that we reveal. So on one hand, yes, you want to connect with others, and you see that you can't. On the other hand, you see that by wanting to connect with others, through them you receive from above, from the connection between them, from them you receive this illumination, this inspiration that we must. And then from there we receive two phenomena which are opposite. On one hand, we hate the society. We don't want them. When will they just disappear? I don't want to feel them. I don't know. I can't possibly hate anything more. And on the other hand, from that same society, you receive the importance that we must connect. I must find a connection with them. I must be with them as one person and one heart. These two forces that is in man, if he works towards a society, they come from above, initially that way, from above, they're disconnected. And I found them to be in such a crisis. It's horrible. It's that specific state which invites in a person this scream that called raising man, that he's requesting force that will correct him, that he has no choice. He can't remain disconnected from his society. He can't remain in his ego because he sees that it's so false, it's not truth. And that's one thing. On the other hand, he's incapable of connecting with the others. And he knows the truth is there, that in the connection there he reveals the Creator in spirituality. From that pressure, the light comes and reforms him. It gives him an internal connection with the rest of the souls. With the minimal quantity, yes, but already in this connection, he reveals the spiritual reality. So all this is in man's internal work. Just don't run away externally to calm yourself down. Yes, you know, I'm already in this society. Or like you may say that you grew up here. You know, we're all a part of everything. We know all the material. The internal work is always new every day. So in a state that I want to run away from everything, simply to connect more? What do you do? Yes. Yes, and how so? By force. By force? Yes. I know, it's not simple. Well, there's a nice guy next to you. Good evening. I know that to incorporate into society, I need to cancel myself before it. How does that come to fruition, to expression? What does that mean? Canceling yourself towards society is that I am willing to do something for their good, just so they should influence upon me the importance of the goal. Because everything is according to the recognition of the importance of the goal. If they tell me that spirituality is important, the goal is important, and they brainwash me, then I'm addicted to it. I give everything for it. If they tell me it's important, I don't know, to be somewhere else, succeed in something else in life, so I go for that. You know, we are managed by society, you know. We had to learn this, by the way. Oh yeah, we're learning the article Freedom of Choice today. And Baal HaSulam explains it there. All this is determined by society, meaning my values and what's important for me. And from this lack of choice, I must enter the unique society. The moment you receive the point in the heart, you're brought to society. Just like it's explained to us there, that if a person asks, what's the point of my life? Baal HaSulam explains it there in the introduction to Tess. It's truly, you can see the whole path in the introduction. So once a person asks, what's the point of my life? He reaches the society, and only there he can solve that question. The rest is all up to how he arranges himself in the society. It has nothing to do with sitting here with 200 people physically. Society is how much you're willing to subjugate yourself to the greatness of the spirituality in them. And they can be small. They can be very small. But if you subjugate yourself, you take the spiritual importance from them, not in what they understand, but from a higher degree that they themselves are not familiar with. Because they're all in the end of correction towards you. There is a story about a big wise man, Kabbalist, called Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma. He had students, and he was a huge Kabbalist, and he had students who were very small along the path. He was wanted to be invited to another city or village to be in an academy and to teach there, and there he was asked, why are you sitting there with those students? And he says, I can't be without them. Yes, but they're small and everything, but being with them, he gets the greatness of infinity, the importance of the goal. So if you come to the society that in sum total, overall, yearns to reach the goal and directs itself towards this, to truly lose your head, to want to subjugate yourself towards them, that's a huge success for a person. It's explained quite detailed in the article Freedom of Choice, by the way, that only there we have choice. Only there. Because we always work towards the goal. More important versus less important. We always choose everything that way in every moment of our lives. What's more worthwhile from within my ego and my will to receive? So if society can direct me that instead of, I don't know, valuing Coca-Cola and cards and soccer and instead favor some spiritual goal, they can truly make from me whatever they want. The main thing is to just enter some society like that. The rest is not up to that person, by the way. My whole work is only within the society. To come study with them, to take part with them, to serve them, to subjugate myself towards them, and that's it. And not pay attention to their externality. They're quite ugly, they're stupid, they're ignorant, they're unrespected by the world. Look at them. But it doesn't matter. I choose them according to their spiritual goal. That is important for me. That I want to direct myself towards the goal, and for that I need to receive a brainwashing from them. Raise your voice, please. And stand up so they can see you on camera. I have to provide for their corporal needs also? I don't know what you mean by corporal desires. You need to take part with them also in those same actions that they do together in order to connect with them. How else are you going to connect with them? By study, by meals, circulation, different things. That's called participating. That's why they're called your friends. Friend is from the word connection. So what are you connecting with? That's why here we already reach a state that we must build a society and as wider as possible with friends around the world, because in the greatness of the nation we see the exaltedness of the Creator. We have hundreds of thousands or millions of people, and accordingly we feel it. We feel this strength, this intensity, that we always want to be impressed and incorporate into this more and more all the time. And that only gives the force of advancement. I'm telling you from my experience. I myself, on my own, would of course not advance.
Okay,
thanks. Well, are we going to go next? Oh, wait, there are more questions. Okay, she's new. Regarding what you just said now, a man can reach making a screen without a group? Never. Bala Sulam writes that. Bala Sulam writes in the article Freedom of Choice that out of everything where we are found to be with in this world, and everything I'm directed by genes, hormones, instinct, education that I was given as a child, and then school afterwards, and even onwards, and this general society which gives me importance in, I don't know, television and radio and this and that, I'm found to be, I'm presently like in handcuffs. Yes, in jail. Yes. I have 1,001 different influences upon me and I can't control them, except for one thing. I can incorporate with the correct society. It's truly like I'm in this big sphere and there's like a small hole. Through it, I can incorporate with the spiritual society, which is outside my physical sphere. And then they can influence me through that same small rope, that same small tube. They can influence me the importance of the goal, so that from this big sphere of the influence of the general society and the hormones and the genes in me, and I can finally exit that. Only that way. It's the only freedom of choice that we have. But wait, let me sharpen my question. My question is not if it, is it possible, but I mean, it's possible, but it's harder without a group? No, impossible. A man cannot do that on his own. It's impossible. Even if he deals in circulation and study, Rav says, no. He cannot do it on his own. We see it even historically. A Kabbalist was never on his own. He always had a few students. Even two. Him and one more. But you need someone to cancel yourself towards in order to receive an impression from him. I was with the Rabash. He would subjugate himself before me, and I would subjugate myself before him. He would subjugate himself before me? Who am I? It's clear the big difference in height between him and me. But he had to do that in order to receive from me. Well, not from me, yes? But as if through me, through what he's canceling himself. It's not me here, someone you see here. But it's necessary. There is that story about Rabbi Yossi ben Kisma is very important. Baal HaSulam explains it in the article. I think we're going to come to it in next week in the article Freedom of Choice. Please go and read it if you can. It's something so fundamental. We really have to work on that. Just like I know you from the study. Same thing towards the man. By a woman is different, right? A woman can incorporate with the general without exiting the connection with them actively. But she also needs the influence of the general. But it's enough for her, the TV channels, the internet, through talking with others, the few people that she's in contact with. For her, the cancellation is different than with a man. The man, he has to do things actively with the friends compared to the woman. Okay, next. I don't think we're going to reach the article today. We're just speaking about it. Rav, I wanted to ask, I was in one of your lectures that, if I understood you correctly, you said there are no miracles in spirituality. So I wanted to ask, what is the spiritual root of a miracle? I don't know, regarding Hanukkah and the dreidel that we spin. I think if we would take some person from, I don't know, the edge of the world, and he would see the lights here, he would go crazy. Light? Here? Wait, but it's dark outside. How's that possible? So we have a question here. What is a miracle? A miracle is something that I don't see that comes from nature. For me, it's a miracle. Baal HaSulam explains, all of reality is divided into concealed and revealed. Today, for me, there is a certain level, a certain area of my reality that I call revealed, and beyond that is concealed. And part of the concealed layers will enter into the revealed layer tomorrow, and that's how it is, like layer by layer, slowly it's revealed to me. The miracle is called that I can press something here and something happens suddenly there, and I can't see the connection between those two things. That's why it's called a miracle. So it's all towards us? Of course it's all towards man. There are no miracles. What is the miracle of the exit of Egypt, as we say? I am here below, let's say. We have my ego, my Pharaoh, and the rest. I have no opportunity to rise above this. By some system, I can invite a force from above called Or Makif, the light that reforms. And it will operate, it will exit me outside towards redemption. How will it do this when I'm here in exile? I don't know. But I was told there is a remedy. What remedy? Deal, engage with the group, circulation, books. Engage in these things in order that you can you'll receive something to correct yourself. It will come. But wait, this roundabout, this cause and effect, I'm not familiar with that. But that's called the miracle. Doesn't matter if you call it the miracle of Hanukkah or the miracle of Egypt. But what does that mean? And I don't know exactly what I'm pressing here. but I suddenly receive something. And when I pass the barrier, it's like when we pass the barrier, we begin to feel, to be in the system, we begin to acquire it. Then it's called man's soul will teach him. What does that mean? That then I'll have these two forces, left and right, and I'll begin to manage myself in the middle line. I begin to build myself, and then there are no more miracles. Thank you. Well, thank you, Oren. Maybe something for the end. But if you're back in the end, please come closer so we can capture you on camera and hear you better. The microphone. A bit closer, please. Sorry, we couldn't hear him. What is me'it? A hundredth? In the what do you mean by tenth? A hundredth, one over a hundred? Well, please explain yourself. Rav once said in some opportunity, I'm not clear what you're asking about. Okay, next. What is a hundredth? Wait. I don't want to really be on camera. I'm sorry. You're on live TV here in Israel and around the world. No choice. Okay. What sins and mistakes did you mean that you said? Are you talking about the physical mitzvot? I can't speak about the physical mitzvot because we're not in them. So what mistakes and sins that you speak about? Regarding those that are revealed that I'm not found in them, not present in them. Let's look at it this way. The evil that is revealed to me, it's revealed as 613 desires in the soul. That these 613 desires are present in us in the soul as being corrupted. That's why we're in this exile. These 613 desires, what does it mean that they're corrupted? They're all on the intention to receive, intention to enjoy. So, where do I have these 613 desires? How? I just want, eat, drink a bit, sleep. What do I have? Maybe 20 desires most, Phil. So, those desires, the beastly ones, have nothing to do with the spiritual desires. These are beastly desires, and the Torah speaks nothing of that at all. But we reveal in ourselves 613 desires, truly 613, which are corrupted, that they are desires of bestowing on the intention of bestow, let's say. And then we have also bestowing on the intention to receive. So bestowing on the intention to bestow, there are Ramach and Shasa. This is called Achat. So this belongs to the soul and not my corporal beastly desires that I want to fulfill my beast. Nothing to do with that. These are desires of the soul. He's writing soul up here. That's what I have to correct. That's what was corrupted. That was in a spiritual state, adhered with the Creator. And believe me, this physical body, this flesh, was not adhered to the Creator. The soul, with its 613 desires, was matching the Creator in adherence with Him. And then they were separated because the soul received an intentional corruption. And I reveal this corruption when I reveal myself in a state that, I'm just wicked. Or that I reveal myself as completely, completely wicked. So that is called that I reveal the corruption. And afterwards, this is called evil inclination. So to reach a state that I reveal myself as wicked, that is not a simple state. And for that, you need the light that reforms the light of the Torah as well. After I reveal the evil inclination, then it is written, I created the evil inclination, I created the Torah, the remedy. that only then I can see, that's all the Creator created. And I admit it. I'm not afraid to say that. I have to reveal that. And after that, I reveal the remedy. Because I reveal that on one hand, there is an evil inclination, yes? It's both inclination in me and it's evil. And then I desire to turn it to something good. It's like, I feel it, it's like some inner virus in me that I have to get it out of me. I reveal that by the light. Then I demand a different light, called the light of Absag, called Torah Tavlin. What does it mean that I reach Taryag Orot, 613 lights? These 613 lights, they are called Torah, Orchin of Oraita, the lights of the Torah. They correct my 613 desires. That each and every light corrects the desire meant for what is the light meant for it. And then by these corrected desires, we reach the third stage, in which the light comes, the light of fulfillment, and fulfills my desires. Yes, my 613 corrected desires. Then that light fills them. And that general light that fulfills this, yes, the 613 lights of fulfillment together are called Creator. Then it turns out that I made myself like the light, I adhered to myself with the Creator. Israel, the light, and the Creator are one. This is how we reach that. To our engagement here, for that, here in our world, everything we do here is unrelated entirely.
שאין קשר. יכולים אנשים להתעסק במצוות הגשמיות, אין להם הכרת הרע. נמשכים אנשים לתיקון הנשמה הפנימית, זאת אומרת, נשמה לא שייכים לקיום המצוות הגשמיות. זה לא שייך לזה. חוכמת הקבלה בכלל לא שייכת ליהדות. אברהם אבינו גילה את כל העניין הזה בבבל העתיקה, ובזה רצה להכשיר את כל הבבלים, שפעם אז התגלה שם האגו שלהם. ואנחנו קיימים כבר בתרבות שלנו, בחינוך שלנו, ביהדות, בקיום תורה ומצוות הגשמיות, זה מנהגים. אני לא מבטל אותם, חס ושלום. אלה... ואני חושב שהם, שטוב שיש לנו את זה, כמו לכל אומה, יש חינוך, תרבות שלה, כן? ואנחנו צריכים להחזיק בזה. אבל להבין שיחד עם זה אין שום קשר בין הקיום הזה, העממי, הגשמי, לתיקון הנשמה. שאנחנו יחד עם זה ממשיכים להיות בגלות, עם כמה שמשתדלים לבצע פעולות שנקראות מצוות הגשמיות. לכן אין כאן התנגדות, אין כאן התנגשות, צריכה להיות כאן פשוט הבנה. זה שייך לעבודה שלנו, בעולם שלנו, בחינוך, בתרבות, צריכים כך לחנך את עצמנו, לחנך את הילדים בכל מה ששייך ליהדות. אבל תיקון הנשמה הוא כבר שייך לנקודה שבלב, שהיא משתוקקת לדבקות הבורא, והיא יכולה להיות בכל אדם שבעולם. בכל אדם שבעולם. אני אגיד לך עוד יותר, אתמול הייתי בירושלים בהרצאה באוניברסיטה העברית, כן? היו שם אולי ירושלמים 200 איש. אני חושב ש...
מאילת באוטובוס.
מאילת באוטובוס, מאשדוד באוטובוס. מירושלים היו 200 איש. כן. בעוד כחודש אני נוסע לרומא. אתה מבין? רומא זה סמל... הפוך מירושלים, כן? מחכים לשם, אני חושב, יותר מ-200 איש. מה תעשה? אנחנו, אני מבין את זה, אנחנו נמצאים בשבירה, אנחנו נמצאים בקליפה. דווקא עם ישראל שהיה בקדושה, הוא נפל יותר עמוק מכולם. כך כתוב. שהיהודים שעולים, עולים עד השמיים, שנופלים, נופלים לתאום, זה כתוב. אבל אתה רואה, זאת הדוגמה. אני מגיע לארגנטינה, או לצ'ילה, או למקסיקו, לכל מקום. יש שם יותר אנשים ממה שעדיין יכולים להתעניין כאן, מהקהל שלנו. הקליפה עדיין, השבירה עדיין שולטת. אבל להבין שאין קשר בין פעולות הגשמיות שנקראים מנהגים, מצוות שאנשים מלומדן, לעומת המצוות הפנימיות, תיקון הנשמה, זה חובתנו. אחרת אנחנו נתבלבל. אנחנו תמיד, זה יפריע אחד לשני. וכאן צריכים להבדיל. וזהו, ואז פשוט. ואז בזה אף אחד לא צריך לחייב את השני, ואף אחד לא, אין כפייה ברוחניות, אף אחד לא צריך ללחוץ על השני, וכלום. לכל אחד משלו. אם היינו כך מתנהגים, אני חושב, מצבנו היה הרבה יותר טוב. גם כן הדור הצעיר לא היה מזלזל בכל המסורת שלו. טוב.
כאן, הגברת מקדימה, בבקשה מיקרופון.
כבוד הרב, אני לומדת אצלך בקמפוס, ואני רציתי לשאול לגבי נשים, האם בעצם היותנו רוחניות, אולי לא פחות מגבר, מהגברים, האם תהליך התיקון שלנו, התיקון הנשימתי שלנו, יכול להיות קצר יותר? גם אם נחבור לספרים ולמורים ולכל הדברים שאמרת וכל התהליכים שנעבור בתהליך התיקון, האם לנו יכול להיות קל יותר להגיע לעבור את המחסום הזה שאתה מדבר עליו?
לא.
חבל.
אנחנו, לא, כי אני אגיד לך, אנחנו כולנו קשורים יחד, לנשמה אחת.
נכון.
גם גברים וגם נשים. ויש תפקיד לחלק הגברי וחלק הנשי. שכל המציאות מלמעלה עד למטה מחולקת לשני החלקים האלה בצורה מאוד מאוד ברורה. והתפקיד הוא תפקיד צריך להיות ברור. אישה חייבת לעודד את הגבר, היא חייבת לרומם אותו בתיקון שלו הרוחני. היא חייבת לכוון אותו. היא חייבת ללחוץ עליו ולדרוש ממנו יחס הרציני ונכון לתיקון. נשים פועלות מאוד מאוד על הגברים, אז ככה זה בטבע שלנו, מושרש, ואף אחד לא יכול להתקדם בלי שני. פשוט כמו שאנחנו בעולם שלנו מולידים דור חדש יחד, כך אנחנו גם כן יחד, בהשתתפות ממש בינינו, מולידים את המצב הבא הרוחני. רק בהתקללות ובחיבור הפנימי בעזרה הדדית. לא, אנחנו לא צריכים בזה לראות זה את זה ולדבר זה עם זה. לא. אלה התמיכה, התמיכה היא נמצאת בטבע, בכל זה מה ששייכות לזה הנשמות, אלו ואלו. ואז צריכה להיות תמיכה. אם אני שומע ש... אלפי נשים יושבות ליד הטלוויזיות ומסכי מחשב ויחד איתנו נמצאות בכל התהליך, אני שמח, אני בטוח שאנחנו נצליח בתיקון העולם.
I'll be sure that we'll succeed. The force of the woman here determines this. The male is very much influenced from this. That's why I'm a female, yes? Yes, it's very much correct. And if women are familiar with this, it's already a good thing. And the males will definitely receive the pressure from the female from this. So the spirituality is something high. Yes, the male must overcome. Yes, he must give that force, and the female must direct him towards that. To pressure him, just like, you know, at home, you know, without too many words. She gives him this direction. And there is nothing here to degrade or to look up at. It has to be understood as our mutual nature, that I need the female part to pressure us, and accordingly we will carry out what we need to do, males meaning, and we'll give birth to the best state for both of us, for all of us. Okay, next. Something came out today which was very much Hanukkah, you know? We seem to stop studying today. We camped. Regarding souls who are yearning for correction, as the spiritual revolution happening here in Israel, what's our corporal global role in all this process that we want to carry out the first correction? So what meaning is our role here in Israel compared to the rest of the world? Okay, that's written in the introduction to the Zohar, letter Samech, from Samech to letter Ayin. The nation of Israel, as part of Babel from back then, which received the method of correction and was entered this method and called itself Israel as Yashar Kel, direct to the Creator. We have to reach its realization here in Israel, here and now. It must give this as an example, show this as an example to the entire world, and bring that method to the entire world, to be as the light for the nations of the world. That the more that will join us from the nations of the world, the more the better. But even those who don't join, we must, the world does not. The world can just say that all the bad is because of us. Great. And all the good is also because of us. And this, that they come to blame us for everything, it's very much justified. It's written in the introduction to the Zohar. We must correct ourselves. And in this, we will correct the attitude of the world towards correction, and they too will be corrected. And in this, we'll reach the general correction. I wanted to yet ask, this separation in Israel between wanting to be drawn to Kabbalah and those who don't want to be, those meaning who have a point in the heart and those who don't, why is this that way? That's true. But look, there is no one without a point in the heart. We're all concatenating from the connection with the Creator, all through the breaking up to this world. Some have the point in the heart raised in them, awakened, and ask the question, and some don't. So from here I wanted to ask, how does this system work, that some of us awaken now and some in another 5 or 10 years? What's the role of each one in this? There must be a role here, very specific. I myself am not getting into this, because if a person receives awakening, he comes here to study, he incorporates with us, and more distant or closer he comes in contact with us according to how he feels is good for him. And my role here, my goal is to not coerce in spirituality, just to advertise the correction itself, that it's a possibility. And I'm not trying to draw anybody. I'm not talking about drawing others. I'm asking from our direction, how can we strengthen ourselves to know what our role is as the first ones, I don't know, in the last 50 years that people study Kabbalah. How can we advance ourselves more in this? Only in circulation. Self-study, self-correction, and circulation. There must be degrees here which belongs to some... Look. We all attain all the degrees and open them up accordingly. No. We need to do two things. Circulation towards ourselves, in order to raise ourselves in importance towards the goal and work towards the external world. That everyone should know that such a thing is present. That when the peace of the world and the goodness of the future is all through this, through correcting ourselves in the world, that we are privileged then with the corrected world and the light, and that we will rise above this world towards a sensation of eternality and harmony. And that's it. We solve all the problems in this, in family, in education, everything. This is what we have to advertise to the world. Meaning, this that a person already has forces finally, and he understands just how much everything is behaving, managed around this, then he's already in control of his life accordingly. This we are yet to reveal. But whoever wants to use this or not, I can definitely not be a host of that or coerce anybody to that. A person's point of the heart is revealed or not. There are many friends around here who don't want it. They don't react. You know what that is? They don't react. And there are those who are very distant compared who would do. Every day I get some letters, emails from places in the world that I have a hard idea trying to imagine where that is even. And there are those, our neighbors, just like open the TV channel, but they turn the channel, they go to watch some soccer game. And I can't blame anybody for any of this, God forbid. Because this is still the desire awakened in them, so there's nothing you can do. Nothing. I don't blame anyone in anything, and I have no objection towards them. I have an objection towards myself. Maybe me, that I'm advertising the method of correction of why, what's happening in the world, why does the world look the way it does, what's this process that it's going through, what does it have to reach, what's expected. Maybe I'm not explaining it well enough, pleasantly enough, nicely enough, so you can come into contact with it, to be impressed of it correctly. I definitely don't turn to anybody to blame them or to look down at them. I understand what's happening, not him. So I don't know, what educator can come to a child and scream at him that he doesn't understand him? No, you have to go down to the child's degree. So I hope we will succeed. We need much forces for this. Well, please hear. Please stand up for the camera. Is there a next world? No, Rav says. There's no next world. There's no heaven or hell. Nothing. Oh boy. Why are you so upset about this? Wait, and if it's like, I don't know. So if it's the next world is a bad thing and I'm telling you it doesn't exist, so it's a good thing, yeah? Look, we exist as we do right now, right? And then I die. What state am I in then now? That same state disappeared. The state I am in now, is it corporal or spiritual? If I don't grasp spirituality, then the same state disappears because I don't feel anything corporally. Just, I return only back to that same Rishimo that didn't develop in me. And once more I exit Ima, I begin to develop as a small beast, a small person. And I get another awakening and come to another group, a wisdom of Kabbalah. If I succeed to develop my soul, meaning my connection with the others, that in this connection I reveal the Creator, the upper reality, the sensation that I attain is called the attainment in the soul. The spiritual revelation has nothing to do with the body. The body can die, and I remain in that sensation that I attained. Wait a minute. If I attain the soul, the sensation of the next world that you say, and then you die. You remain in that same sensation even without the body, because you've attained it in a new vessel which you developed, which has nothing to do with the body. But that vessel has not reached its end of correction, just only partially. But once again, I have to be born in the body to grow as a person, to reveal my soul within me that was present there beforehand also, but I reveal it very quickly. I don't have to go through all those stages again yet, though. Let's say we have some examples by Kabbalists that within a few years reached a new height, reached spiritual heights very quickly. But it's because they had their from previous incarnations already that they advanced. So in spirituality, in corporality, it doesn't matter. We call it this world and the next world, meaning what I will feel in the next moment. That's called the next world. That's what Kabbalists write. And this world is what I feel now. And there's no connection between what I feel now and what I can reveal in the next moment, called my next world. And the souls return to the families? And to my sour, I don't know or not, but oh, okay, no. But you can ask, but wait, I just accidentally got married to somebody and I had children and I had grandpa and grandfather, grandpa and grandma and descendants also from a few generations. Don't worry, there is a connection. But this connection is so complex that, let's just say no. From the generality of the soul afterwards, we will definitely reveal it. That there is no coincidence. Wow, today?
No.
Okay, next. Yes, sir? I learned one thing mainly in Kabbalah. The Kabbalah explains itself in two words: existence and absence. Existence means you believe in the upper force, and not an absence that you don't capture it, you can't grasp it. So Kabbalah says means that if you want to reach this high spirituality, you must come to Kabbalah, meaning receive it. So what I'm saying is that everyone should know that Kabbalah is two words: existence and absence. Correct, creator and creature. That's how we study. That's where Kabbalah begins from. That before the creator, the creations were created, and the emanations were emanated, there was only the upper force, meaning Him, which existed. And what He existed, what did He create? He created existence from absence. But these are the only two things existing in reality: existence and absence. Absence meaning the creature that exists only in through the force of the light. If we will know this, we'll grasp this idea that we have to be dependent upon the light, we will reach it. Well, this is basically Hanukkah, right? Happy holidays for everybody. Let's continue. Well, we'll continue studying the article of the freedom next week. We spoke about these topics today through Hanukkah. Thank you for being with us in Beit Kabbalah Ram. Thank you to our audience at home. Stay with us. We are now continuing in the